like you to try to sing this along with the boss. What is wrong? What is wrong with you?
I don't know the song.
Well, we've had a great show. Born in USA. Seriously? You're going to step all over it? We've had a great show so far, a very lighthearted start in some ways, and then in other ways, not so much. Of course, starting off with our terrorism update with the bomb, Mubin Sheikh, ex-Muslim extremist turned undercover intelligence operative and author of Undercover Jihadi. Every time I talk to him, he just brings a whole lot of light to that crazy world. Of course, we talked a lot about Orlando and what that was and wasn't. And then lighting it up a fair bit with my dad. And it drives me little nuts.
Funny.
This is why this segment is now the most popular segment.
He's real. That's what's the best part, man.
My dad joins me once a month in a segment we call Meanwhile Back in the Farm. He is 83 and he talks about life back in the day. And we surprised him with a phone call to his sister to get a little dirt on him.
No dirt.
No, there's no dirt. Which is interesting because, you know, he is a funeral director.
Ah. He's got dirt under the fingernails, but not in his life.
And then, of course, our Hollywood correspondent, Carrie Pomeroli. And now it's time for the pub crawl on the Drew Marshall Show. Thanks for tuning in. We're streaming live at drewmarshall.ca. We're live here in Southern Ontario in the GTA on AM 1250 and also on joyradio.ca. We're all over the place. Couple of great gentlemen on the show today. Andy Kindler, comedian extraordinaire. You've seen him on The Late Show with David Letterman. Everyone loves Raymond. Each summer at the Just for Laughs Festival in Montreal, he delivers the State of the Industry address. But he's probably best known for his mockery of himself and anyone near him.
So good thing he's out of the studio.
AndyKindler.com is the website. And John Fugelsang, he's an actor, comedian, writer, TV, radio presenter, rank amateur photographer. Rank amateur?
It means he smells.
Oh. Political satirist and recovering cynic. He is the host of Tell Me Everything on Sirius XM Insight 121 from 2 to 5 Monday to Friday, 2 to 5 Eastern, that is. Tell Me Everything features political figures, comedians, journalists, actors, filmmakers, theater folk.
Nice.
Theater folk. Why didn't he just say thespians?
Because that's...
Oh, could be other. Could be like directors and stuff.
That's later this afternoon.
All right, that's a topic for later. Musicians, satirists, artists, authors, and all sorts of fantastic people. The greatest thing you need to know about John Fugelsang is that although his parents are both ex-clergy, he's come to view Jesus the way he views Elvis. He loves the guy, but the fan club kind of freaks him out. They're both on the phone. Andy Kindler. Andy,
hello.
Andy, what hotel room are you in right now? What's the number?
I'm in 601, ladies. And they're doing, you may have to excuse me, they're doing intermittent reconstruction on my brain in the hotel. All of a sudden, it sounds like they're drilling through my head. So
nice.
I'll cover the talk. I'm on an old phone. I'm on the blower.
Yeah, today. On the blower. Yeah. Irma, is that you? Andy
Sarah,
Kindler.
Get me at B.
Where are you? You're traveling a fair bit, doing funny stuff. Where are you today? Like, what country are you in? What town?
San Antonio, Texas. And I want everybody to know that song is sarcastic about the USA. A lot of people don't realize.
Oh, okay.
Yes, I knew that.
Mocking. But I'm in San Antonio, Texas at the Laugh Out Loud Comedy Club. I'm already plugging. And you can get my t-shirts and my neck pillows.
Neck pillows. That's a great thing.
Ah.
Have you ever seen anyone... Honestly, Andy, I'm going to do that. I'm going to sell neck pillows.
They're already sleeping at my show. They
should be he's there all week, folks. John Fugelsang is also on the phone, I hope. John, how are you today, sir?
Hello, Drew and Andy and everybody. Greetings from the sweltering hotness of New York.
Right.
We're having Megan Fox. It's Megan Fox weather. It's very hot and most unpleasant.
Nice. Nice. Well said. Now, John, have you ever had any dealings with Andy Kindler before?
I've had dealings. Anybody who read Andy Warhol's diaries will remember the accounts of Andy and my carefree swinging days, coke-fueled throughout the 70s. The marriage was annulled in Mexico, but we remained friends, and he has children, I hope.
Right.
I don't know. He's in Texas.
John Fugelsang, when I told you he was going to be on the show, you said, right on. What do you mean by that?
Well, I love John Fugelsang, and I've been trying to get on his show. He's not barring me from his show. It's just that we can't seem to put it together. So we're on yours. It finally happened on your show, because you spiritually bring people together.
That's what I do. I'm one big walking kumbaya fest. That's what I am.
You're amazing. You're like Jimmy Carter, Bono, and Desmond Tutu whipped into a fondue, and you brought it together. Yeah. Normally, Andy and I only communicate through fruit baskets. So this is pretty significant.
That's right.
This is going to be weird. Very weird.
Is Bishop Desmond Tutu still alive? Because I use him as a reference all the time.
Yeah, just Google that, please. Will you go to deadoralive.com and figure that out?
Gallagher. Check Gallagher, too.
He's been dead forever. You
he
know that.
Four heart attacks a day.
Gallagher 2 or check Gallagher 2? I didn't understand.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, speaking of heart attacks and passing out, did you hear that Meatloaf didn't go over well here in Canada?
Meatloaf, Donald Trump's best friend?
Well, that makes sense. But yeah, he passed out on stage in Calgary, dropped the mic. Well, I thought he was on James Corden's show, dropped the mic, but it was not.
Who knew? Who could have predicted during Johnny Carson that in the future people would think it was hilarious to do car karaoke?
Who knew? I find the both of you not only humorous and entertaining and strikingly handsome, but
Come on! I have offbeat good looks. This guy is smoking hot.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, you know what, John? I got to say, I just found out you were married, and I was crushed a little bit. How long have you been married for?
We got married on leap day, so we only have to acknowledge it every presidential election cycle.
Nice. Well done. Good. Good. Well, let's get into the thick of it, because as I was sort of saying, you guys both have the pizzazz, but you also have the depth as well, honestly and quite seriously. And so I want to know from two Americans I trust, which seems to be a bit of an oxymoron these days, what is happening down there in the name of God We Trust land? I mean, obviously we're going to talk about the Orlando shootings, and then we have this bigoted preacher saying he wished more of them were killed, and there's gun control, and there's Islamophobia, homophobia, religiophobia, toupeophobia, potential president responding to the whole thing with appreciate the congrats for being right on radical Islamic terrorism.
And hungry alligators in Disneyland.
Yeah, like, it's just...
Yeah, Trump, by the way, Trump is, he accepts your congratulations for warning us all about alligators for a while. He's going to build a giant moat around Disney and make the alligators pay for it.
Good for him. And then to boot, we've got this politically correct thing that I think does play into this. Unfortunately, it's fuel and fodder for Captain Toupee, but, I don't understand exactly what's happening with the millennials these days, but I can understand how they're extremely sociologically retarded in so many ways, because what else do they have to deal with? How else do they process life except through the filter of your nonsense down there in your land? Now, this might sound a little harsh, but John, I'm not a fan of what's happened to your country, and I don't even care, but I'm still not a fan.
Hang on, I'm just looking for the right emoji to respond to you with. I disagree. I think America is really the remains of a great society.
Yes, the remains of a great society is well said.
The thing to know about America is this, okay? This is how I explain it to our Canadian friends. And I pass for Canadian in America because I'm very pale. In Canada, I can pass for Haitian. But here's how it works. America is everything turned to 11. Okay, the best of humanity and the worst of humanity. We are the society that gave the world the electric light bulb and turducken. Okay, one state, Minnesota, sent Bob Dylan to New York and sent Michelle Bachmann to the U.S. Congress. Everything wonderful happens here. Everything horrible happens here. And that's the only way you'll understand us.
Wow, that's really good. I guess we don't need Andy Kindler anymore. Andy, thank you for joining us.
I wish I could make it like Crossfire. I agree with everything John said, but here's the thing. I will explain to you, as if I know anything. Donald Trump is the worst thing that has ever happened in my lifetime to this country, and I know I'm guilty of hyperbole, but there's no sentence for it. But
yeah, Andy, I want you to know, hyperbole is worse than Hitler, okay? Be careful.
Exactly. Well, hyperbole is that, hey, you know what, Godwin? You're a Nazi, Godwin. That's just a joke for me and 12 people. Who's this guy? What is he, a Nazi? But here's the thing. Trump, when they compare Trump to Goldwater, Goldwater had a brain. Everyone knows that Goldwater had thoughts in his head. This guy is the worst thing that's ever happened to America, and he's the exact result of a racist party, which is the GOP, which is, he's the GOP without the dog whistle. you know, nobody steals elections by me going, oh, I hope John Fugelsang doesn't go to the poll, and I'll show up as John Fugelsang. You know, everything they do is based on racism, trying to stop all black people from voting. And now the chickens have come home to roost because Trump is going to, as long as everybody leaves the House on election day, Trump will get trounced.
Yeah. Okay, so here's a problem that I have, though. It's a democracy down there, from what I understand. And so if your country votes in Trump, your country deserves Trump because they wanted Trump. Isn't that how it works, John?
Well, that's kind of mean. It's kind of mean what you said. It's not my fault.
It's essentially the argument Jefferson made. Yeah, yeah, we get the reality shows and the presidents we deserve. But I don't think you need to be too worried, okay? There's no one, people rooting hardest for Trump. There's three groups that really want Trump to be president, okay? The media, because they like the ratings.
Yeah.
Right.
ISIS, because they like the war.
Yep.
And guys who are really fed up with that whole your thing. Guys who haven't mastered the your or the there, they're very violently in favor of Trump. But all you need to remember about this, and yet, you know, the thing is that people don't understand, voting for Donald Trump is the closest millions of real Americans will ever get to voting for Boss Hogg from Dukes of Hazzard.
Well, here's the other thing, Drew.
People who don't think. But, Andy, the only thing you got to know is Trump has to do better with Latinos than Mitt Romney.
Wow.
Okay, so everyone unclenched.
Yeah. Yeah. Andy, you were going to say something?
Well, yeah, what I was going to say was this is my particular bet noir. Is the new atheist. I warned forever. I was the first most annoying person or one of the first early adopters of saying these people are, first of all, they're not very bright. The atheists of today are not very bright because nobody knows anything. Nobody knows what happens when you die. So guessing that, oh, I see a bug over there. He looks dead. I'm sure then it's over when we die. Nobody knows. And it's all hunches. And I grew up as an artist, and I got high, and I took acid, and I had some experiences, and those empirical experiences is as good as Lawrence Krauss's Reason Rally. But these people, they're not going to change one terrorist by making people. Hate crimes have gone up three times, and they are directly responsible for it because they have whipped up Islamophobia, and there is no excuse for it. And these people, Mar. SamHarris.org, Richard Dawkins, they're evil. I'm sorry.
No, you can't. Hold on, Andy. You cannot say that about Bill Maher. I mean, he called you.
Let me finish.
He called John Fugelsang one of his favorite comedians. You can't say that about John.
Well, I'm evil, too. Go ahead, Andy.
Yes, he is
evil. Well, I don't think John could possibly defend what Bill Maher is. But did you see him last night on his show? He doesn't have a fact in his head. He's with Sam Harris, who's a disgruntled neuroscientist. Why would anybody, someone ask me, have you read End of Faith? Why do I want to read what a neuroscientist who has an agenda has to say about religion and spirituality? who would possibly think that, why would you lap up that, whatever you call it, pablum?
Right.
I'm sure John does not defend the Bill Maher Islamophobia.
Okay, John.
Here's what I have to say about that. I don't. As far as religion goes, I have an abnormally intricate history with religion because of my parents. But some of the best Christians I know are atheists, and some of the most godless heathens I know are Christians. But Andy's right. There's a fundamental strain of atheism coming out that denies the fact that atheists and believers have one thing in common: nobody knows crap. So what I always say when I talk to Bill Maher and other of my fundamentalist atheist friends are, you have to separate fundamentalism from religion. Because the overwhelming majority of Christians, Muslims, and Jews are getting along just fine right now, today. There's five things that unite all fundamentalists, no matter what your faith, Christian, Jewish, Muslim, Hindu, Scientologist. Number one, women are second-class citizens, right? Like, yeah. The more conservative your religion is, the more it's like the gospel according to Ike Turner. Two, gays are bad. Three, other religions are inferior. Four, violence is okay if my side does it, because I'm on God's side. And five, sex is icky. The more conservative your religion is, the more you believe in those five traits. And the sex thing's ridiculous, because if God didn't like sex, he wouldn't make us cry out his name when it's really
exactly,
hot.
Exactly.
The fundamentalist Christians, Jews, and Muslims all embrace those five points, and they play victim, and they use violence, and they discriminate, And that's the minority. That's the loud minority. And that's what I always say to the atheists who, like, you know, if you don't want to be lumped in with bad atheists, don't lump all people of faith in together as well.
Okay, that was John Fugelsang. His show
is... That's his thesis, by the way.
That's his thesis. He just delivered the entire thing. John is the host of Tell Me Everything on SiriusXM Insight 121. That's where you're looking for, that channel, 2 to 5 Eastern, Monday to Friday. And Andy Kindler also on the phone with us. And Andy does not have his own show.
That is depressing. Hey, I will add this, though. They are fundamentalists, these, and you should see the hate that's directed towards me. These people are like, most of them are white men, and they want, and I've heard them saying things like, if they don't change their religion, we're going to make them change their religion. I mean, I think it's really, I haven't seen anything more frightening than this new atheist movement, and I don't see, there's no upside to it, and I don't get it. It's very weird. I mean, I guess I do get it, but I couldn't have predicted it. Like, I couldn't have predicted I would be defending organized religion in my lifetime.
Yeah.
Same here.
Okay, gentlemen, when it comes to Sandy Hook, 20 kids were shot and killed. Correct me if I'm wrong, but really, nothing changed as a result of that. Would you say that's true, Andy?
Yes, I would say it's true, but not for lack of trying. I mean, I think if you saw Obama after the vote didn't go down, I mean, this is another thing that's just complete insanity. You know, like, I love when Trump says, I think Trump really believes that the president can just, get rid of an amendment. I really think he if you told him, no, you have to pass a thing, he wouldn't have any idea.
Got to pass a thing. Okay,
yeah. So it's like the fact that you can't, that there's no, common sense. It's common sense.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to make the old arguments. There's more regulations to driving a car. It's like nobody, there's no amendment that doesn't have another side of regulation to it.
Right. Okay,
so it's just crazy.
So, John, as far as you're concerned, it's never going to happen? You guys are never going to take out the liquid paper and go over top of right to bear arms?
Oh, no, that's not true. As soon as billionaires start being victims of mass shootings, you'll see change happen. As soon as NRA executives start being victims of mass shootings, you'll see change happen. I mean, you know, it's insane. The same people who are telling us to hate all Muslims because of this guy Omar Martin are the ones who are fighting for Omar Martin to have easy access to assault weapons. And we had 50 people rapidly killed by this AR-15 in Orlando because here in America, maniacs have a God-given right to not have to reload mid-massacre.
Yeah.
And we pride ourselves on that, you know? And this is the thing. Now they're saying, well, you're just exploiting a tragedy to advance your gun agenda. And no, we're actually trying to prevent the next tragedy. Some of us think that American lives matter more than having a machine gun for target practice. And that's what we're up against in this country. See, Americans have this long history of just selfishness disguised as virtue. We used to call it manifest destiny. Now we call it American exceptionalism. But it's all shorthand for whatever, I do what I want. And that's our national motto.
Ladies and gentlemen, Shaniqua Fugelsang there on the Drew Marshall Show. So, Andy, as far as the positive stuff that I hear from, and I've got friends who are Republicans, don't tell anybody that, but and they're in the LA area, and they're real quiet about the fact that they're Republicans, but they say things like, well, look, wouldn't it be nice to have somebody who can't be bought, that isn't part of the agenda, et cetera, et cetera? And your pushback to that is?
Well, here's the absolute truth. Everybody knows about the Cuban Missile Crisis and Kennedy. He ignored the one cable from Khrushchev, and he went with the other cable. And I forget the name of the creator, Curtis LeMay. He didn't listen to Curtis LeMay. If you vote for Trump, you're voting for the guy he goes to find out what to do when the crisis happens, and then he may agree with him, or his ego and narcissism might take over, and he might just blow up the world. You're literally electing a madman, and so there's the word that I hate now that's used all the time is disruptor. I don't want the disruptor. The mushroom cloud. I mean, I don't want the disruptor to destroy the world, which he, I think, very easily could. Very easily.
Okay, but John, isn't it better to have someone, again, like Mr. Trump, an outsider, to shake up the way things... Hey, look, everyone's sick and tired of politicians doing whatever politicians want to do in their politician-y way. And so the best way to do that is to get someone who's not a politician. And they'd rather have some whack job lead the states rather than a pantsuit lady.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, when I
want to
stick, think it's the GOP, I'm sorry, John. Go ahead.
Yeah, when I want to stick it to the man, first person I go to, a billionaire landlord. That's what I want. Donald Trump, exactly the one. He has to work his way up from nothing to be born a millionaire. So he's on our side. You have to understand that.
Yeah, Donald Trump, proving that you don't have to be poor to be white trash.
Exactly, yeah. You know, Donald Trump is a guy with all the social privilege and no awareness of it whatsoever. Donald Trump is how the rest of the world sees America. Over-entitled, loud, obnoxious, petulant, and utterly hilarious. The rest of the world views Donald Trump the way America views Texas.
Right. Right. Okay, I got it. All right, so there has been this thing in the media about people saying, if Donald Trump goes, I'm going to Canada. Why wouldn't you go to Mexico? It's warmer. That's what I want to know.
Got to get over the wall.
Yeah.
Am I wrong that I prefer Canada over Mexico right now? Yeah. I mean, I like the Kahlua in Mexico. That's all my experience in Mexico. I got a blanket in Kahlua.
How long do you have to wait before you get universal health care up here, Tim, when you come to this country? Do you know what it is?
We've already got it.
Yeah, but if these guys come, they got to wait. They got to wait before they get decent health care. Even after they get health care, they have to wait to get it. That's why we go down to the States if we really want to get it.
But you got to pay for it.
Right. All right, John, on your talk show, you have you've had a variety of guests, I'm sure, over this last week, talk about this Orlando stuff. What has been the thing, the cream that has risen to the surface? You know, who has said the most impactful thing? What's been the most eye-opening conversation you've had about this scenario, this Orlando stuff?
Well, I think it's that over the course of the week, we began to slowly realize the very real possibility that this was a hate crime and not terrorism. And you can't underscore that enough. You know that again, if fundamentalism is the enemy, it's the fundamentalists that preach all the gay hate and cause all the sexual shame. If you read the Bible, Jesus never said anything against gay people. Jesus talks about gay people as much as he talks about monster trucks. So this is again a fundamentalist, extreme conservative religious problem. And it's really interesting seeing the people who have spent their entire professional careers demonizing our LGBT brothers and sisters,
right,
now rushing to their aid. Seeing Rick Scott, who made the AR-15 the official state firearm of Florida while fighting against any civil rights for gay people, wondering why anyone would use an AR-15 against gay people. And so, in a way, the hypocrisy is coming home to roost. And I hate to say anything positive can come from this destruction, but I think that a lot of homophobes are realizing they don't want to be on that side of history anymore.
Right.
And, the gay community inspires me a lot. You know, I moved to New York as a teenager at the height of AIDS activism, and because of all the work done by LGBT activists and their straight allies, we went from this a plague to, within one generation, marriage equality, the swiftest advancement for civil rights of any oppressed minority. In fact, the most oppressed minority, because gay people are the oppressed minority within every minority. The swiftest advancement of civil rights in human history. It happened here. It happened because of a plague. And that's one of the things that makes me proud to be an American. And to see the way that LGBT people and their allies have responded to this destruction and murder, that's one of the things that I do find redeeming about America. And it's one of the ways America, along with a few other countries, really is leading in the world.
Okay, just before we go to Andy, John, you once debated Jerry Falwell. If you were to debate Jerry Falwell today, I mean, where do you think he'd go in all this? I mean, do you think Jerry Falwell would be saddling up to Trump?
Oh, of course he would. I mean, you know, if you thought any of these evangelicals actually believed in the Jesus talk, I think Donald Trump has finally proven that once and for all. Look at the Mormons. Look at how Donald Trump, the Republican Party, is going to lose Utah this year. Because it turns out the Mormons really take that stuff more seriously than a lot of evangelicals. He only got 14% of the Republican votes in the Utah primary. So, you know, there's more and more pockets of opposition coming. Jerry Falwell was a grotesque hypocrite and revoltingly fake Christian, but he was above all a capitalist. His whole thing was just following the money. I think you'd see Jerry Falwell beginning to realize that the market was moving away from homophobia and climate change denial, but he'd still be a bigot against Mexicans. He'd be calling people illegals. He'd be questioning the president's citizenship. That's the biggest racism. Donald Trump was a racist before it was trendy 4 years ago with the birtherism, saying that Obama wasn't born here. And it's just like, that's textbook racism right there. But none of the Republicans cared. Now they're pretending that they're waking up to this. And by the way, I saw Obama dance on the Ellen Show. You can trust me. He's half white.
His singing is great, though. His singing is
great. Yeah, quite good. Quite well. That's because he smokes, right? So. Andy,
I don't know why I thought singing was particularly an African-American trait.
Yeah, well that's, is this reverse racism?
Yeah, it's called textbook racism.
Yeah.
Reverse racism, and it's fabulous.
And it's fabulous, darling. Do you, you know, you travel around a fair bit. Do you think that there are pockets of the country that are nuttier than other pockets of the country? And do you do any comedy stuff in the South?
I just was back from the South. I played Charleston, South Carolina, and I played Charlotte, North Carolina, and Wilmington, North Carolina. And the people who came to my show were all progressive. You know, I think there are certain states that I've never played in. I've never been in Alabama. The one time I went to Tennessee, it was terrible. But, you know, Lenny Bruce was the person who said that the people in Peoria are probably, you know, they would say, well, a play in Peoria. They're probably a lot brighter than you're giving them credit for. I think there are pockets of progressivism everywhere, and certainly kids. The thing that's amazing is people who are my niece and nephew's age, they couldn't care less if someone is gay. You know, these things, issues that were wedge issues, are going to go away.
Yeah. Wow. Okay, well, as usual, every time you two are on my show, you've not been together, but separately, I have to go back and listen to it because you actually drop a lot of nuggets.
I haven't had any sleep for 3 days.
He's sharper when he's like that. John, it's time to plug something. Any neck pillows for you?
God, I live with a toddler who's dropping nuggets all over my house today. I'll be in L.A. Performing next weekend for Politicon, in Philly for the GOP convention, for the Democratic convention, performing there on the 21st, and then in Cleveland for the Republican convention. That's the 21st, Philly on the 24th, and I'm at John Ziegelsang on the Twitter or the Facebook or Friendster.
Okay, can we just go back to something? You're going to be at the Republican convention performing?
I'm doing a weird show. We're going to be doing a live heckling, myself with Frank Conniff and Liz Winstead, and we'll be in Cleveland with a giant video screen behind us, live heckling one of the nights of the GOP convention. Trump's speech, we will be on stage and giving it to Mystery Science Theater 3000.
That's hilarious. Awesome.
Oh, my goodness. Andy Kindler, anything you want to plug here at all? Anything at all? Anything?
Well, yeah, just don't get me stopped.
I know.
I'm going to be in Minneapolis at Acme Comedy Company in July, and then at the end of July, I go up to Montreal, where I give the 20th State of the Industry address.
Wow.
Which proves that my career has stayed on the same level for 20 years.
Well, just before we go, I would like to let you know I just found out that Americans gave a record $337.25 billion to charity last year. That's the most ever given.
And,
whoa. Yeah, and that's not counting, Facebook buddy did with his, that didn't come into all this. They said the most amount of people that gave were individuals. So you guys are givers, there's no question, and it is still one of the most...
We're very generous. We're going to have the first president to serve on an outpatient basis.
Oh, my goodness. And that's where we're ending this conversation. So
I'm not
good.
I'm releasing my tax returns so you can see how much I...
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm releasing Andy's tax returns as well.
John Fugelsang, Andy Kindler, both on the Drew Marshall Show. Gentlemen, that was brilliant. Thank you so much to both of you.
Thank you for having me. This was a really, really incredible experience.
Well,
thank you. I love Andy and Drew. I'd rather be on your show than the best show in all of Canada, and I mean that.
Thank you. I appreciate.
I love all of you.
I take that to heart for both of you. All right, gentlemen. Goodbye. Go and
bye-bye.
Make money. Bye. Bye now. Andy Kindler and John Fugelsang, both tremendous gentlemen. I'm serious. I'm going to have to go back and listen to that.
They're, yeah, some very funny
how
stuff.
How many
there.
Nuggets were dropped?
Yes.
Hey?
Well,
and I don't even mean comedic. I just mean smart stuff.
Yep.
Boy, it's surprising when funny people.
Well, you know what?
No,
comedy is the best way to get across important information. No question.
Tori, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Do you have anything you'd like to share with our listeners at this particular point in time?
Indeed, I do.
Indeed. Let's see if you can say this all the way through without stuttering once. We're all watching. And action.
Maybe you've been thinking about advertising your organization on the radio, but don't really have the budget for a long-term marketing campaign. Well, what if we gave you an entire show?
Wow, that's a great idea.
The Drew Marshall Show is currently offering an innovative and affordable advertising concept for the small business owner. With web stats and listenership at an all-time high, Canada's most listened to spiritual talk show is offering you the opportunity to partner with us for an entire show. Become a one-day advertising partner, and we'll introduce you to our listening audience for the day. Drew will mention your organization every hour during our four-hour show, and we'll give you a live five-minute phone interview.
Crazy.
Oh, and one more thing.
Yes?
We'll also offer... Sorry. We'll also post your logo and website link on our website for an entire month. So if you're thinking about promoting a special event, product, or upcoming sale, or if you just want to test the radio advertising waters without a huge investment, then consider becoming a one-day advertising partner with the Drew Marshall Show. Contact us through our website, drewmarshall.ca, and ask about becoming a one-day advertising partner.
Good, good. Ladies and gentlemen, Tori the intern.
Yeah!
Yes, well done, Tori the intern. Very well done.
You made it easy for me.
I did make it easy for you.
Oh, man.
I made you start over again.